Welcome everyone to the ordinary council meeting of Hobsons Bay City Council on the 14th of December 2021. I'm Peter Hemphill, I'm the Mayor of Hobsons Bay, and I'd like to welcome my council colleagues, officers and members of the press and public. The meeting will commence with the council welcome and acknowledgement. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs, and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. I would like to acknowledge that we're gathered on the traditional land of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples relationship to this land and offer our respect to the elders past, present and emerging. This meeting will be conducted virtually in accordance with the Hobsons Bay governance rules and is being live streamed on the council website to enhance public access to the deliberations of the council. This meeting is also being recorded as a podcast. The voting method will be conducted by a show of hands, as in the council chamber. Councillors, please clearly indicate your vote by raising your hand for and against the motion when prompted. Absence from the meeting. If a councillor needs to leave the meeting at any time for any reason other than for a conflict of interest, they will stand to indicate their intention to leave and then walk away from the screen. I remind councillors not to turn off their camera or exit the virtual meeting. If a councillor needs to leave the meeting, if council needs to leave the meeting due to a declared conflict of interest, as the chairperson, I will remove the councillor from the virtual meeting until the matter under discussion has been resolved. I will then invite the councillor back into the meeting. If a councillor cannot be seen or heard due to technical issues and cannot carry on as a participant in the meeting will continue as long as a quorum is met. If the quorum is lost, the meeting will be adjourned until the quorum can be returned. The time that any councillor leaves and returns to the meeting will be recorded in the minutes, regardless of the reason for absence. As for apologies, we're all here, so there is no apologies. Moving on to disclosure of interests. Under the Local Government Act, councillors are required to disclose conflicts of interest. Are there any conflicts of interest to be disclosed, councillors?
No, Mayor Hempel.
Mr. Mayor, related to item 9.1.1, the CEO operations report, that report refers to work that I lead with the Men's Project at Jesuit Social Services. I don't regard the conflict as material and don't intend to leave the meeting during debate on that item.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. That's duly noted. Now move on to confirmation of the minutes. And we have minutes for a meeting held on the 12th of November and the 16th of November. Do I have a mover for those minutes?
So moved.
Councillor Marsden, seconded. Councillor Briffa. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Now, the next item is councillor questions. And I will start with the one I can see uppermost on my screen, Councillor Briffa.
I'd better unmute myself in that case. Okay. My first question, well, actually all of my questions, I have four questions, Chairperson Hippel, and my questions are to Mr. Matavasagasavam. First one is in relation to Racecourse Road, Altona Road, you know, with that Ford crossing. Mr. Matavasagasavam, as you recall at the last meeting, I very much appreciated the responses that you gave in relation to that crossing and that particular road and the issues we have with safety and amenity impacts, particularly when we have a lot of rainfall. Could you just provide the council with a bit of an update as to what's happening there to address those issues following that last meeting?
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Briefer, we have started some, we're going to do some cleanup works over the next few weeks. And also we are sourcing quotations to install a safety barrier along the that forward area, and also warning signs, so for the people to work through those things. And what we are planning to do is we're planning to put a barrier and also a gate over that area, and we are planning to construct that over the next few months, and we are that the works might be completed by March next year.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Next question is in relation to Fleming's Pool, which has been a bit of an ongoing issue, I guess. I've continued to receive a lot of complaints from residents regarding rocks and other debris that regularly surface following the works that the council's contractors, it wasn't us, it was our contractors, nevertheless, we're responsible. Could you please explain what those works were, why were they necessary, and what we're doing to regularly, hopefully regularly monitor and remediate those issues whenever debris surfaces?
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Biffa, the existing seawall and access onto the foreshore area at Fleming's Pool had reached the end of its life cycle, requiring renewal and upgrades to accommodate sea level rises. The community sought for the retention of the access to the foreshore at that location. So a project was scoped to complete the upgrade of the seawall and replacement with the community access point at the Fleming's Pool area. So works were carried out and completed back in 2019. And then over the following year, we did extensive works carried out to remove debris, including materials that was coming onto shore from the ocean. Since that time, the area is subject to regular inspection and cleaning on a similar schedule to the rest of the Altona Beach. Materials being removed that comes onto the shore as this subject to the high debris due to the more regular storm events that has been occurring for the last 12 months. And we'll continue to monitor and see what things we need to do and continue to clear the Fleming's Pool for the community.
Thank you, Mr. Madavaskis-Fem. So in terms of the remediation that's happening now and, you know, has happened, has the contractor that did the work, were they involved in any of that remediation and the removal of debris?
Through you, Mayor, the first year of last year, the contractors helped us to do that. Now the council officers, staff are doing the cleaning works now.
Right, okay. So the material coming up now is just normal material. It's not actually from the construction. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right, okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Madavaskis, ma'am. The next question is in relation to the Altona Pier. And look, obviously appreciate that that's not our project, it's not our asset, that Parks Victoria is managing and funding that project. But the pier was fenced off in June after a severe storm, but the new pier construction isn't meant to start until late 2022 and not completed until 2023. So that's basically 2 years of you know, our beautiful community going without a gorgeous and much-loved pier. Can you just give us an update on this project and advise if there's anything that we could possibly do to expedite the project, noting that it hasn't even been undergone detailed design yet? It's going through that process at the moment.
Through Mia, thank you, Councillor Briefer. And I can confirm that, you know, this is not Council's project. It's a Parks Victoria project. And Parks Victoria is currently in the process of obtaining a permit for the demolition of the existing pier. Due to the structural condition, that's why they have closed. And the rough timeline is the middle of the next year. That's when they are planning to demolish and start the construction in September next year. But still, we are working with the Parks Victoria to understand exact details. Once we know more details and more information, we are happy to share that with the community.
Wow. So hang on just a minute. So there's going to be a time where Altona is going to be without a pier.
That's correct.
And Pier Street won't be Pier Street. I mean, wow. Okay, sorry. I actually, up until this moment, I didn't realise that there was going to be a time where we might have a peer. So I'll have to let that sink in. I just can't imagine Altona without a peer. But thank you for that update. Anything that we can do to expedite that process without obviously impacting quality would be much appreciated. The last question, Mr. Madavaskasabam, is just in relation to whatever works that we have around the Altona and Sea Home foreshore over summer. Obviously, it's the period where it's the peak period for the foreshore. We have lots of visitors and whatever, plus lots of residents all across Hobson's Bay like to visit it. Can you just give us an update on what works are scheduled for the Altona and Sea Home foreshore, in particular over summer, and why it could have been done earlier or it could have been delayed until after summer?
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Biffa. We totally agree. We understand. We always plan all our works around the summer period in order to avoid the busy period in Altona and Sea Home foreshore areas. And also, one of the major projects we are doing in those areas over the next 3 years is we are upgrading the foreshore and also Pier Street Beaver Reserve over the next 3 years, yep, to a $3.5 million worth of upgrades works. We are working through that, and it's got a sort of a sequence of works we need to do in order to minimize the impact on the community. And also all the works are planned outside of the busy period. And that's how we started this year. However, earlier this year, with all the lockdown and also the industry shutdown, we couldn't start the works. And that's why we have to delay the Webb Street and also Mount Street pedestrian access points. And we wanted to do that because that's part of the bigger puzzle. We wanted to do that in this stage. Otherwise, all the other works would be delayed because the next year we wanted to do the Pier Street and Weaver Reserve in the winter months. So in order to do that, this needs to be done as well. So that's why we started. But when we started the works, we were conscious of the footprint, and we worked with the contractors to minimize the footprint they're going to occupy. So what that means is we'll minimise the impacts on the community during the summer period.
Yeah, because also the roundabouts that we're planning, that they'll have an impact on parking and things around the foreshore as well. So thank you. I'll just conclude by saying, Mr. Madavaskasabam, thank you so much for all the work that you and your staff do. I hope everybody has a wonderful, a very safe Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. I now move on to Councillor Marsden. Any questions? Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Two questions. First, what is Council doing to respond to the need for increased mental health services across our community, including working with state government as they implement recommendations from the recently released Mental Health Royal Commission?
That's through you, Mayor. I think that this question is for me. Councillor Tyler, thank you for the question. While the impacts of the Royal Commission recommendations for Hobson's Bay are still unfolding, there are a couple of very specific areas of activity that we're engaged with I can update you on. One is that there is work now underway to locate some quite significant regional mental health services within Hobson's Bay, you know, tens and more plus sort of councillors and mental health providers into Hobson's Bay specifically, which is responding to recommendations around having more services located near the people they're serving rather than regional centres that require a lot of travel. We are working with a major provider at the moment to help them identify potential locations that will meet their needs and also best meet the needs of our community. So at the moment, that service is targeting all ages except the segment that is served in youth by Origin or Headspace, although they are looking to expand into that age range as well. The second is, as you're aware, youth mental health has been reconfirmed as an advocacy priority, and we are working up our advocacy to state and federal governments, particularly around youth mental health needs. The ask of federal government is around a Headspace satellite to be located in Hobsons Bay, which is sort of, it's not well served by other headspace services, which are a fair way away. And we are in discussions around expanded state-funded youth services for Hobsons Bay young people as well as a complement.
Okay. Councillor Tyler, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, thank you, Ms Winslet. And the second question through you, Mayor, I think again for Ms Winslet. What progress has been made on introducing compostable paper bags into the FOGO service? And are you able to share a bit about the timeline over coming months?
Through you, Mayor, certainly Councillor Tyler. We currently have a pre-pilot of the compostable paper bags that's active with 200 households. Participation was limited to this number, which was really around available customised bags that were available to roll out immediately. So far, we've had really good engagement from that cohort. Around 75% of participants have already completed feedback surveys, which is excellent. It will help us inform the full trial. The full trial commences in February next year, and it will accommodate unrestricted numbers. We currently have in excess of 3,500 households that have signed up, and we expect more before the program starts. So participants in the full trial will receive two types of bags, and they'll be asked to provide feedback on both options, which will help to inform the design of potential ongoing programs.
Thanks, Ms. Winslet. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Councillor Sutton-Lagoe?
No questions. Thank you.
Councillor Greener?
Yeah, I've got one question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. During the COVID, we're all enjoying outdoor dining areas, and now that we're moving into the warmer weather, I'd like to ask Council their position on providing shading in Council's playground and open space.
I believe that's probably Mr. Mani Vasagasavan's area.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Councillor Grimam. We are part of the urban forest strategy. That's one of the main area providing sheds. And as you know, the current target is 30% by 2040. And it is an ambitious target. And also first year of implementation, we already planted 8,500 semi-mature trees, part of that program. And when we plant those trees, we sort of target the reserves, play spaces and everything. And also when officers work through the design process for upgrading of playgrounds, we try to put the play areas closer to the mature trees. And where that's not possible, we can consider the shade structures. And also that would come part of the community consultation process. Next year, we are planning to work on our play space strategy, which identify the shade structures. And we will do a community consultation in mid next year to work through that process. Once that gone through, all of our parks and play spaces would have a natural or the shade structures.
I appreciate that response. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councillor Greymack. Councillor Callender, any questions?
Yes, I have a couple of questions, Mr. Mayor. So through you, I think this question is probably best directed to Ms. Winslet because it's a follow-up to Councillor Tyler's question. Could you please advise once again why Veolia will not accept compostable bin liners and why they won't accept regular paper bags such as mushroom bags or paper sandwich bags? Thank you.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks for the question, Councillor. Look, we work closely with our partner, Veolia, and they've been very clear that that they are unable to accept compostable plastic bags at the plant where they process Hobsons Bay FOGO. They're also keen that the paper bags that are used the correct paper and don't have plastic linings or other products in them that would be difficult to determine if it were sort of open-ended paper bags. So that's why we're trialling the current paper bags.
Okay, so just to be clear, we have to use the paper bags that are provided and there's no alternative option at this point in time.
That is correct in terms of paper bags. Residents are welcome to wrap their scraps in newspaper or kitchen paper towel as well.
Okay, thank you for that. Next question through you again, Mr. Mayor. Council's recently released a policy that considers the future of outdoor dining, and it suggests at this present time, you know, a potential fee of $3,000 to $5,000 per car park space as an annual fee that will be charged to traders. Are you able to advise what that cost is made up of?
Through you, Mayor, Council has not formed a view about potential future fees with the outdoor dining program. The consultation materials note the value of the car parks that are currently in use as information for consideration. In forming a view on potential future fees, officers will consider a range of factors, which would include things like the public cost of delivering the program, the value of the public space being used for private commercial benefit, and also Council's other policies such as the property strategy.
Okay, thanks for that, Ms. Winslade. And third and final question, and this is just one through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess as we're going into the Christmas break. So a fully vaccinated friend of mine has actually found herself stuck at home at the moment, sick with COVID, and she's lucky to be in a position where she's got access to a social network who can deliver, you know, items that she needs to her home. Just wondering if you could just, you know, put it out there and let residents know what services are available through council if they find themselves in this situation over the Christmas break.
Certainly, Councillor Callender, and thanks for the question. The key tier of government that's responsible for support is obviously the state government, and it sets the rules for what you can and can't do. But council is continuing to play an active role supporting local residents where they do need support. And in particular, this includes the Community Connector service, which we've been running since the first lockdown last year. That's a dedicated phone line that people can call. And while council won't necessarily deliver all the services through that, they'll be able to help people navigate to what they need, whether that is emergency sort of food relief packages or access to medication or other sorts of services that are critical for them to access.
Okay, thanks for that, Ms. Winslade. It's great to hear. So over to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. We now move on to public question time. This is a segment which provides an opportunity for the public to ask questions related to items on the agenda of the council meeting or any other matter within council's responsibility. Questions must be put in writing and received by 12 p.m. on the day prior to the council meeting. Questions received after this time will be dealt with in writing by an appropriate council officer. In accordance with subsection 13.1 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules, 20 minutes has been allocated for public question time, with individual responses not exceeding 2 minutes each. In accordance with Rule 13.1.14, a maximum of 3 public questions may be submitted per meeting by a member of the public. In accordance with Rule 4.6.9 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules, a supplementary public question time segment will not be conducted during this meeting. So I have a couple of questions that have been submitted by Mr. Ilt Mikowski, and I'm going to read both of those questions out, and it starts with a bit of a preamble. The Victorian government announced it would be providing local councils $54.5 million to help support the cost for businesses setting up outdoor street trading, and back councils to provide the necessary infrastructure to establish semi-permanent and permanent outdoor precincts. Funding was allocated based on the level of business activity, with metropolitan councils receiving between $300,000 and $800,000. First question is, can you confirm the amount Hobsons Bay Council received from the Victorian State Government? And the second question is, and how have these funds been used to date? The answer is, in the first round of outdoor trading, Council received $800,000 from the Victorian Government and contributed a further $800,000. all of which was expended in delivering the temporary outdoor trading program. In the most recent outdoors program, Hobsons Bay has been advised it will be receiving $500,000 through the initial phase of the COVID Safe Outdoor Activation Fund for further temporary outdoor infrastructure and activation of outdoor areas. Council has not yet received these funds, but they are expected based on correspondence with Local Government Victoria. Council is already incurring significant further costs in operating the program. It has committed a further $500,000 in our current budget to a community support package, including funds for community grants, outdoor activation activities and programming, as well as business grants. Outdoor activation funds, including Victorian government funds and council commitments, have been allocated to projects in line with state government and council funding guidelines. These include infrastructure costs for new and existing outdoor trading areas, road closure management activations in outdoor trading areas, including the Live and Local program and the Retro Caravan program that will come in the new year. It's also been used for marketing and communication materials, precinct promotion, waiving of footpath trading permit fees for all outdoor areas, and additional cleansing. I thank Mr. Mikowski for his questions, and that's all under councillor questions. We now move on to petitions and joint letters. And we have the first is item 8.1.1, petition, speed hump in Burswood Court, Seabrook. Are there any questions in relation to this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, one question through you. Just be interested in understanding a bit about council's future plans for consultation on this, and then related, what's also been done to date with regards to consultation on this project.
Is that Mr. Manivasagasavam to answer? Yes.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Tyler, we have done two rounds of community consultation in Seabrook for this project. And during that time, we didn't get any objections or submissions during that process. And so now we understand we received this one. So what we'll do is we won't do any works in the Burnswood Court area. We'll engage with the residents individually over the next months, and then we'll provide a further reports on that. And all the other works in the other areas will go ahead this month.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? There's a recommendation before us.
I'm happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Move Councillor Tyler, seeking a seconder. Councillor Greemer. Councillor Tyler, do you wish to speak?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. First, thank you to those who organised and also signed this petition. As we've heard, the proposed works will be paused while this petition is considered. I think it's raised a number of important issues, and I know that in line with this recommendation, council officers will consider these when determining the way forward. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Councillor Greemer, as the seconder, do you wish to speak?
No, I fully support this petition, and I want to thank officers for doing a review and supporting our residents. So that is all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? No? Councillor Tyler, should I put that to the vote? Putting that to the vote, all those in favour? It is carried unanimously. Are there any other petitions or joint letters?
Mayor Hempel, I've got a joint letter petition.
Yes,
Yeah. So through you, Mayor Hempel, I'd like to table a letter that was received yesterday relating to the Bruce Compton Reserve Master Plan. This letter comes from a few residents from Altona Meadows who are requesting that Council review and amend the Bruce Compton Reserve Master Plan to prioritise open spaces, including more spaces for parkland, recreational pursuits, larger dog off leash area, and more tree planting over the sports spaces. They feel this will be better.
Councillor Bremer, I might stop you there.
Oh, sorry.
Because I think you're getting into debate. First of all, can I just talk about
the letter? This is not from me. This is what.
When we get into debate.
Okay, I'll just leave it to the Bruce Compton Master Plan. Fair enough. Just want to make clear, Mayor Hempel, that was the concern of the resident.
Are there any questions in relation to this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, one question. I'd just be interested again in the plans for future consultation with regard to the Bruce Condon Reserve Master Plan, and in particular the timelines associated with those consultation plans.
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Tyler. The master plan was developed through an extensive community consultation. So the stage one, we established a community reference group, including all the stakeholders used that Bruce Compton Reserve. And through the collaboration of all the community members, we developed the master plan. And then we gone through the extensive community consultation. And after that, council adopted the master plan. So now we have the master plan. And now part of the master plan, there's a southern section identified for the open space and also other development. And that would happen next year. So we are planning to start the next stage of community consultation from March next year. And we'll go through an extensive community consultation to identify all the open space and what are the requirements in that area. And then through that process, we'll finalize that process. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Councillor Greemer, as the person who tabled the letter, I'm assuming you'll move the motion that's before us.
Councillor Briffer.
Councillor Briffer's got a question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Councillor Briffer. Sorry, I didn't see you.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt either. Feel so rude with the with these online meetings. A question to Mr. Medovaskasavam, just in relation to the works proposed. Are there any active contracts for any of the works in place? So do we have any signed contracts with contractors to do works on Bruce Compton Reserve?
Through you, Mayor, Councillor Bipa. No, we don't have any contracts because we haven't done the final designs yet. So that would be the part of the community consultation. So that's why we'll start the community consultation to inform the design. So there will be multiple stages of community consultation from concept design to detailed designs over the next year. Once that confirmed, then we'll go through the tendering process.
Lovely. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffer. So I'll go back to the motion that you can see on the screen. And Councillor Greemer, I'm assuming you'll move that?
Yes. I will move it, but I'm also going to add, I'm looking forward to working with my team in council to discuss the petition.
Sorry, Councillor Greemer, stop you there. Sorry. I need to get a seconder before you're heading into debate.
Happy to second, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
So now, Councillor Greemer.
No, all I want to say is that I want to thank the lead petitioner/joint letter and the people who signed it. Thank you for taking your time to do so. And I'm just looking forward to having a healthy discussion with my council colleagues regarding this petition and the Bruce Compton Reserve, and I look forward that we're putting it out to consultation early next year. So thank you to officers, my council colleagues, and again, the petitioner. Thank you. That is all.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. And Councillor Grimmer, it was worth the wait. We got there.
Yeah.
echo your comments. Thank you to the folks who submitted this letter and also to those who signed it. I think it points to a number of important strategic documents that are important as we consider the detailed design of the Bruce Compton Reserve, our recently released council plan, open space strategy, urban forest strategy, and also points to the consideration of a number of changes since the onset of COVID-19. I know council officers are preparing for an additional round of consultation, as we've heard, and look forward to these perspectives, as well as I'm sure many others in our community being heard as part of that consultation. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? If that's if there are no other speakers I can see, Councillor Grimmer, do you wish to close debate or go to the vote?
Go to the vote, Mayor Hempel.
Okay, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9, which is business. And the first is 9.1, Office of the Chief Executive, 9.1.1, Chief Executive Officer's Report on Operations. And there is an extensive report in our attachments. Councillors, do I have any questions? No questions. Then I seek a mover for the motion that we receive and note that report. No mover. Councillor Sutton Ago moved.
I'll second it.
Seconded Councillor Grimmer. Councillor Sutton Ago, you wish to speak?
Thank you very much. As usual, the report is extensive and really demonstrates just the amount that is going on within the municipality and how many projects we have on the go and how many things that the team, the CEO and the teams are dealing with, and I commend them for all that work. It's really gratifying to see the libraries reopening. I know that many people love their libraries. I love my library. And so it's great to see them open and, you know, starting with our Altona North Community Library. And then we had the Altona Meadows and Williamstown Library, and the others were next to reopen. So that was fantastic. And I know some people thought we were a bit slow, but I think the team, you know, did the best they could, that their best intentions were to maintain the safety of the community. And I think they've done that very well. Thank you for the report, and I commend it. If you would like to see what's really going on in the city, have a look at this report.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton Ago. Yes, it's always an extensive report. Councillor Grimmer.
I'm going to start saying I definitely agree. I'm a library. I love my library. I live at the library. So I love it. So thank you to my council colleague for mentioning that at the library. I'm going to highlight a few things I'm excited about, and that's the workplace opportunities for the council that they've done during COVID response packages for the youth, employment, online expressions of interest is opened from the 1st of December, so getting quick. This is a great way to providing support with opportunity to younger people, which is much needed in our great community. And I'm equally excited as deputy to mention about the Williamstown Hall and the Altona Theatre has welcomed back old customers, old bookings, but we've also received new ones. So that's a delight, and I'll be attending a show, so without the little ones. And in doing so, I'm also equally proud with the development of the Wetland Centre, something that's really close to my heart and all my colleagues' heart. I'm really happy with the capital works that's going on there, and I can't wait till it's built. So kudos, and thank you so much to the council and our CEO.
Thank you. I should say we've got to get the money first, Councillor.
Dedication and passion.
Any other speakers? Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few things to note, including the extraordinary live and local program, which are a series of paid opportunities for Hobsons Bay resident musicians, performers and creatives to play around and about the place. And there's many, many slots booked already and some still available. This just serves to reinvigorate that sense of community and a lively streetscape, which is so important, particularly as people are busy shopping. I get the sense walking the town that lots of people are out shopping and chatting. Everyone's excited to be out and about, and it's good to have some income for those musicians that have suffered terribly throughout the pandemic, along with other creative people. We know that young people, creative people, and the business community have suffered greatly, and I think and I hope that this period before Christmas will be open enough to restore some morale in the community. The other thing I wanted to touch on within the report was the question of regional advocacy and specifically M9. So with the handover of the mayoralty from me to you, we've continued to attend the M9 meetings, and the new meeting for the new mayor included a catch-up on the previous discussions, and that's all covered in page 18 of the CEO's report and goes to the topics that have been covered by the 9 member councils, including waste and circular economy, affordable and social housing, climate change and renewable energy, economic recovery, active transport, community resilience, which was the topic of the last meeting. But the question at hand, and I appreciate, Mayor, that you're the representative, but I speak as your substitute at the previous meeting, and wanted just to alert the council to the existence of a report that's been commissioned by the M9 to look at ways that we can, as a state and I guess as a group of 9 inner city councils, deal with the increasing compost likely to be generated by the implementation of a FOGO bin in many of those member councils, including our own, where we've been in operation for almost 2 years. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden, and thank you for filling in for me at the M9 meeting too. Any other speakers to the motion?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, just echoing Councillor Griffith's earlier comments, just wanted to say a massive thank you to council staff. I know we've got the CEO and directors with us this morning, but more generally, I think it's been a big year for all of us. And the contribution of staff is reflected, as Councillor Sutton-Lagoe has touched on in this report. There's been initiatives that have been really significant initiatives initiated by staff, including outdoor trading as an example, and really guided us through this challenges associated with COVID-19 really well. And so massive thank you, and I hope you have a restful festive season.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, should I put that to the vote?
Yes, please.
I shall do that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. So we now move on to 9.2, Corporate Services, 9.2.1, Adoption of the Hobsons Bay Chief Executive Officer Employment and Remuneration Policy 2021. Are there any questions in relation to this? There being no questions, I seek a mover. Councillor Marsden, seconded Councillor Tyler. Councillor Marsden, do you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So this is a requirement of the newly implemented Local Government Act, which is being staged. And Section 45, brackets 1, requires Council to develop, adopt and keep in force a CEO employment and remuneration policy. The policy must be adopted by the end of this year, that is New Year's Eve 2021. And it's designed to promote transparency, accountability and enhance community confidence in the Council's decision on on the recruitment and management of its CEO, our sole employee, in a sense, that we get to decide Everything else is delegated to the CEO, and so it's critical that there's a structure, a policy, and a framework that's understood not only by council, by the community, to have confidence in the process. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Well said. Councillor Tyler.
As is his custom, Councillor Marston has said it well, and nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Sutton, a go.
Just support everything that's been said, and just to reiterate that this is a key requirement of us as councillors, and we take it very seriously, and have spent time working alongside the CEO, looking at KPIs and annual reviews and performance plans, and you know, very, very happy to support this policy.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Griffin.
Unmute myself. Yes, I just wanted to say, of course, I'm very much in support of this, and us having a procedure, a formalised procedure about the way that we recruit and, you know, assess the ongoing performance of the CEO. That said, I just want to also mention that we've been doing this for years. So this is not something that's new that we're just starting to do this year or next year. Certainly throughout the whole time that I've been on, since I was first elected in 2008, we've been doing that, and I'm sure it predates me. So this is something that council has been doing for a very long time, but now it is formalised in this policy. So just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Marsden, do you wish to close debate?
Only to encourage my colleagues to pass this motion.
Thank you. I'll now put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.2.2, adoption of the Hobson's Bay Procurement Policy 2021. Councillors, are there any questions in relation to this item? Councillor Callender?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question. The new legislation apparently allows council to determine its own tender threshold. And previously that was $150,000 for goods and services and $200,000 for works. And council has since decided to increase that in this revised policy to $300,000 for goods, services or works. So I'm kind of interested in knowing why the threshold was significantly increased and what the main benefits are to be gained from increasing the threshold.
Mr. McLeod, can you answer that, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor, and through you, thank you for the question, Councillor Callender. The thresholds that were established in the Local Government Act previously have been there for over a decade. They've not been adjusted, and they're no longer anywhere near relevant to the types of purchases that we would undertake. We've done an analysis on our purchase frequency and have set that as a baseline before we believe. Now, remember, this is an annualised spend, so repetitive smaller spends underneath by the same contractor would contemplate a need to test the market. There will still be formal testing of the market through quotation, so it's not an anti-competitive approach, but what it isn't is a fully blown tender process, which is extremely significant in terms of resources, time and inconvenience for not just us, but also the broader context for those people bidding to do work for us. So we've moved it up. This seems to be comparable to a number of the councils that surround us. It's by no means over the top in terms of the sorts of money that we would spend, for example, in capital works. $350,000 doesn't go very far in the scale of projects that we are actually working on. And so I think it's a sensible yet conservative approach to where we would otherwise be.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just add one very brief comment, if I may, just to add that although the threshold is 300 and that sort of sets our minimum requirement, there are a number of occasions where we'll choose to go out to tender when the estimated amount is less than, because we feel like that's the most appropriate way of achieving the best value for money for the community. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Are there any other questions? There being none, I seek a mover for the motion. Move, Councillor Marsden. Seeking a seconder, Councillor Tyler. Councillor Marsden, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mayor. So this, as the questions have indicated, seeks to replace the previous procurement policy because of a need of the new Local Government Act to bring it into line with the legislation by, again, New Year's Eve. So we're currently acting under the Section 186 of the Local Government Act, and until this is passed, we'll continue to do so. But I anticipate that it will pass tonight and thereby conform with Section 108 of the Local Government Act 220 when it comes to how we'll collaborate with other councils and public bodies, how we will set our procurement threshold. And I thank my colleagues. It was a good one as to why we've increased to $300,000. I'm satisfied with the CEO's answer and that of Mr. McLeod's, in that it's a minimum, but nevertheless doesn't constrain the organisation from setting a tender process up if it's necessary to guarantee probity. The clause 3.3.3 in the legislation of Section 108 seeks an evaluation criteria. And then finally, an exemption from the policy has to be considered where there is no need for such a public tender, where it's not practical to comply. It's a technical document, but importantly, it contains provisions for social procurement so that we can, as best we can, leverage our local industry contacts, networks, and build the best possible panel of providers, starting within our own borders, but nevertheless, not excluding those, as we've done so successfully in past years with our increased capital works program, to consider people in the country where we seek to draw from the widest pool of tenderers for these large capital works projects. This, like the previous item we debated, is mandated by the Local Government Act, but as Councillor Griffith said in the previous debate, is nevertheless one thing we've always taken seriously, have always ensured good governance and probity to make sure that we're getting the best possible value for money for our community. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Tyler?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It's not really a document that screams read me, procurement policy, but it is an important document nonetheless, as Councillor Marsden has touched on. It's really, you know, to a large extent about making sure there's processes and associated governance so that ratepayers are getting decent bang for buck from the council when they're purchasing things. I'm particularly pleased to see there's a number of, purposes of the policy outlined, and one being to prioritise procurement of environmentally responsible, locally sourced and socially responsible goods and services. Particularly pleased to see that called out, and related council's policy to eliminate single-use plastics from council facilities also called out in this policy, both really important aspects of procurement. And, you know, the reality is there's a lot of power associated with government purchasing in terms of incentivising behaviours from our suppliers. Echo Councillor Marsden's comments around alignment to the Local Government Act. We've got to do this, but I think we've done it, made a decent fist to it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Are there any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? No. Councillor Marsden, should I put that to the vote?
Yes, I commend the motion to my colleagues.
Thank you. Putting that to the vote, all those in favour? carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.2.3, adoption of the Hobsons Bay Complaints Handling Policy 2021. Councillors, do I have any questions in relation to this? There being no questions, I seek a mover. Councillor Sutton-Legault is the mover and a seconder. Councillor Bruffer is the seconder. Councillor Sutton-Legault, do you wish to speak?
Thank you. I'll speak briefly. Of course, Hobsons Bay City Council absolutely acknowledges that good complaints handling is really vital to providing excellent customer service to everybody. So, you know, it tells us what's working. It tells us what the community is thinking about. But it's really important that this becomes a transparent process that the community can see, not that they just know that we're acting on things, but they can see that we're acting on their complaints. And we've had a policy in place for some time, but the new government, Local Government Act, requires us to develop and maintain a complaints policy. So again, you know, we are making sure that we have good governance here and we're in line with the new Local Government Act. The policy tells us what the process is for dealing with complaints, reviewing any decisions, and where you can take your complaint if you don't feel that it's been dealt with the way you would like it to be. So I think, but what it mostly does, which I think is very important, is it puts the customer at the centre. So this is a community-centric, customer-centric policy. It's not simply about, you know, making sure that we have a process for managing complaints. It's about making sure that our community knows that we have it and they can see that it in action and that their complaint is dealt with in a fair and open way. So I commend this policy to my colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Legault. Councillor Bruffer?
Thank you. Yes, I'm happy to second this motion. I think having any opportunity for people to make complaints, but also provide other feedback. To be honest, it shouldn't just be all negative, but provide any sort of feedback is a positive thing and a good thing to do in any sort of organisation that values quality and good service and meeting, you know, expectations of the community. So, happy to support this as I supported previous complaints policies over the years. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bruffer. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? There being none. Oh, sorry, Councillor Marsden.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to point out that I've just clicked through on the web link provided for people to make a complaint, and it's all up and working, and it has been mapped in a line with our digital strategy in order to map the process through with a complainant. And throughout, you can continue and save depending on where you're at with your complaint. It's all very intuitive. It allows you to upload documents and the like, and also includes an introductory page which spells out what a complaint is and, importantly, what a complaint isn't. So a complaint does not include a request for works or services such as a missed bin collection. It doesn't include feedback concerning general directional performance or reports concerning an event or service or a lodgement of an appeal or objection. So it's a very narrow formal process for dealing with errors in process and dissatisfaction due to a service not being delivered or delivered to the expected standard. So I've got great confidence in the system, and as others have pointed out, this doesn't preclude the other work and the need to elicit requests from the community about all manner of other things, and one of the CEO's KPIs is to address that very thing, to have a transparent, easy to navigate and streamlined system for people to be able to tell us what they need and what needs to be done in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. I hope you weren't just flipping through that to put in your own complaint.
No complaints. I'm a very happy citizen, so
good.
Nothing to complain about.
Thank you. Any other speakers? There being no other speakers, Councillor Sutton-Lagow, would you like to close debate?
Happy to go to the vote.
Okay, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.2.4, appointment of councillor delegates and proxies to council and community committees. Are there any questions, councillors? There are none. I'm seeking a mover.
Happy to move.
Councillor Sutton-Lagow.
Second.
Councillor Greimer, and just for the note of anyone who may be listening in, this is a slight adjustment to what was printed in our original agenda. Councillor Sutton-Lagow, over to you.
I'm happy to talk briefly about this. We annually review the councillor delegates and proxies to various community groups and committees. And so we've gone through that process and discussed how we who will attend what. In some cases, we've continued with the same status quo, that we haven't had a change. And in other cases, we've moved things around so that the community groups perhaps can have an experience of talking to another councillor, or a councillor can have the experience of serving on another committee. And it's always a very rewarding experience and a learning experience to serve on these different committees and community groups. So this year, we're looking at, we'll have three women's charter champions, which is amazing. And I'm hoping that we will do some fantastic things this year. Now we're actually allowed out of the house, along with serving on many of the other fantastic committees. You know, I'm serving on the Audit and Finance and Hopkins Bay Community Fund and the, you know, Truganina Reserve. There's just some fantastic groups doing wonderful work. And I'm sure my colleagues can talk to the other committees, whether it's Western and Tourism or any of the others that we were involved with. So I commend the work that's been done to allocate our time to these committees, and thank everybody involved for their participation in helping to make our community work really hard on some of these great activities.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lagow. Councillor Greimer?
I echo all my councillor colleagues Sutton-Lagow's comments. I want to thank her for those kind words. I totally agree. And I want to also acknowledge the officers, because it is a lot of time, and a lot of these committees are, you know, volunteers. But I know we've been posting a lot, and I'm sure I can speak from behalf of my fellow councillors, we've enjoyed posting and getting into these groups. Due to COVID, we haven't been able to get out and about, but this, what in general, what this has provided us is to listen to the committee, to hear what we can do, and to hear what great work's been done in our great community. So thank you to everyone who's involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Marsden?
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to thank you for appointing me to the Audit and Risk Committee. I enjoy that work. I look forward to continuing in that role and working with you as an ex officio member of that committee in order to guarantee good governance and probity. It's been a very effective group and an enjoyable experience. I'm also involved in, a few other forums, but I just wanted to call out two which I head up, including Associated Bayside Municipalities, which I'm president of, and I'm pleased to be the delegate again for 2022. We've just embarked on some strategic planning for that group, and it gives us the opportunity to influence state government policy and in DELP and Parks Victoria and within the various agencies, in collaborating with the eight other Bayside councils when it comes to marine and coastal policy. Similarly, the Metropolitan Transport Forum allows us to reach out to our councils in the metro area to formulate, to advocate, to consult, to become a trusted partner on Metropolitan Transport policy. And I'm grateful to have the privilege of chairing that organisation, being the delegate again for 2022. So thank you to you and my colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. And for those that may not know, if you go to the attachment, you'll see who's the delegates on each of those committees. Are there any other speakers? In that case, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, should I just go to the vote?
Yes, thank you very much.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Against? It is carried. We now move on to item 9.2.5, the 2022 Council meeting timetable. That timetable is set in our agenda there. Are there any questions in relation to that, councillors? No? I seek a mover then. Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, I see, and I think Councillor Tyler, is that? Yeah, as the seconder. Councillor Sutton-Lagoe?
Oh, just to say that I support the timetable, and it will be so nice to be back in the chamber and actually see people three-dimensionally, which is always a strange experience after being online for so long. But it's good that these are all made public. The community can see when we're meeting and when we're not, and the various other activities that we're doing. So happy to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Tyler?
Thank you, Hamble. Echo Councillor Sutton-Lagoe's comments and, nothing further to add.
Okay. I'm assuming no one's speaking against this. Oh, you are, Councillor Briffin?
No, not against.
You happy to speak?
I'd like to speak to it, yes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very happy to support the motion. The only thing I want to flag is the importance of it. I want us to meet in person, and that is my absolute preference, but there will come a time where we might have to have the option of doing combination virtual meetings. For example, I was at an exposure site, unfortunately, last week, and had to self-isolate, get tested, all that sort of stuff. Thankfully, I got my test back today, and it's negative, but, you know, these things will challenge us for the foreseeable future, and we should be nimble enough that we meet in person, have the doors open to the community to meet safely and participate and witness the meeting safely, but also provide that option of the online participation if absolutely necessary. And of course, you know, in my situation, as I said about this case, I'll be very happy to show the council that, you know, the notification from DHHS to say that I need to self-isolate and get tested.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any other speakers?
No, I'm going to be very quick. I echo my colleagues, and I want to thank Councillor Briffa for mentioning that, because I don't want to discriminate anyone. It could even be that, you know, in my situation, I haven't got anyone to look after my little ones. I might have to keep them in this room to do virtual. Hope I don't get discriminated against. It won't be often, but it may be that, or you've had to get COVID testing and we can't go to a council meeting. So thank you, Councillor Briffa, for mentioning that, because that's such an important thing to remind us, because we're not out of COVID yet. So thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to point out that this meeting, this agenda item is really only about setting the timetable. It's not about whether you can show up or not.
Yeah.
Take that as it may. Any other speakers? There being none, then Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, put that to the vote.
Yes, please.
All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to 9.3, Infrastructure and City Services, 9.3.1, Adoption of the Road Management Plan 2021. Councillors, are there any questions in relation to this? Are there being none, I'm seeking a mover. Councillor Tyler, seconder. Councillor Marsden. Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Council manages a really significant volume of roads, 433 kilometres. And this policy, at least in part, goes to the maintenance of those roads. It also, the scope of the plan includes road bridges as well as the road pavements and surfaces, and sets the, I guess, the settings as to how that asset's going to be maintained. There are and will continue to be condition reports every 4 years, unless the value of the particular asset class changes by more than 10%. And there's also more frequent assessments where defects have been identified. And I think the other really important part of this plan is that it sets thresholds or triggers as to when certain actions take place. And that, of course, guards against, other factors beyond the condition of the roads driving maintenance schedules and response to roads that might be in need of repair. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Councillor Marsden, do you wish to speak?
Yes, this is the face of our city in a lot of ways, and interfaces with a lot of other strategic planning documents, including the statutory planning schemes. There's been good feedback on this particular document, and particularly, and I'd like to thank my colleague, Councillor Sutton Legault, who may speak to the item, but nevertheless, it's worth noting that the biodiversity strategy impinges on this document quite a bit, and during a review of that strategy, there'll no doubt be learnings and feedback from the community, which will trigger a review of the Hobsons Bay landscape design guidelines in order to ensure that we're not only providing shade and drawing down on carbon with the plants that we put along our streets, but also providing a corridor and a habitat for our beloved native animals. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Tyler, do you wish to close debate?
Okay, the vote, Mr. Mayor.
Put that to the vote then. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.3.2, adoption of the Hobsons Bay Landscape Design Guidelines. Councillors, are there any questions in relation to this? There being none. Sorry.
Only an apology for me for speaking to the wrong item.
Thank you. If there are no questions, then I seek a mover. Councillor Sutton Legault is moving it. Councillor Greemer is seconding it. Councillor Sutton Legault.
Thank you very much. I took the time, as we do with all of these extensive documents, to review them and took them over with the staff. And that these landscape design guidelines were something that were needed. And there was an obvious gap in our guidelines. And they represent an important document as it assists the community, the applicants, property owners, developers, builders, in preparing a suitable landscaping response to the work they're trying to do. And what's interesting is that, landscaping is often the last thing to be considered in any development. When you build a house, it's often the garden that's the last thing you get round to, but it's often the first thing that gets cut from a tightening budget. So I think it's really important that we can help the community in the broadest sense understand the vegetation that's going to, or the, and the infrastructure, the natural infrastructure that's going to make a difference to our communities, and also make a difference to help improve and retain Hobsons Bay's character and natural diversity. I know nobody wants to be told what should I plant in my garden, but the more that we can help others understand how this helps our fauna and flora, I think it just really makes sense to make these guidelines available, considering we've lost 85% of our native vegetation. We just have 15% remnant vegetation left. That's a really small amount, really, when you consider the size of our municipality. So these guidelines help us to restore or at least try to minimise the loss of Indigenous and native species and try to control weed invasion, which is a huge problem as weeds drown out our native flora. And by doing that, they drive out our native animals. So this document sits alongside a suite of related documents, including the biodiversity strategy, which comes to an end in 2022. So that will be coming back to us then to review, and I hope we will strengthen that even further. And then that may feed back to the landscape design guidelines again. We can perhaps make them even stronger again. So I think there are an opportunity for the council and the community, including industry, to collaborate to promote greater biodiversity. And I really look forward to hearing from the community that they have been helpful, and I will be using them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Ago. Well said. Councillor Greema, is the second speak.
Great, thank you, Mayor Hempel. Now, these guidelines for the better landscape is a great outcome for Hobson Bay. You know, it's going to provide our city to be greener, and that's only going to be good for residents, for the environment, for their health, including mental health. And I've been privileged to serve with Friends of Skeleton Creek for many years now, and, you know, we do the weeding, we plant new trees, we do cleanups, and just provide me so much joy. And just to get there out in the environment, it's great for your headspace. It's just great all around, and it's nice to look at. So thank you, Council, and my Council colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Greema. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Sutton-Ago, do you wish to close debate?
Just to say that I know that an enormous amount of work has gone into this, and as I said, it sits alongside a number of strategies, including the urban forest strategy. So what we're seeing with this introduction is a step towards landscape scale conservation, landscape scale biodiversity management, land management, and it fits into all of those different policies. So that's quite challenging work to make sure all of these things align. So I commend the staff for their efforts in this, and look forward to hearing again from the community about how this will work for them.
Okay, thank you. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.3.3, contract 2021.21. Open Space Supplies Panel. Are there any questions in relation to this? There are none, so I am seeking a move of the motion. Councillor Marsden, a seconder. It lapses unless I get a seconder. I see Councillor Sutton-Ago hanging up first. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mayor. The recommendation is to award the contract for the Open Space Supplies Panel to the consultants listed in the table at an estimated schedule of rates of $2.58 million, excluding GST, for the initial period of 3 years with 3 one-year options to extend. And I support the motion, for the reasons outlined in the tender report, as well as the recommendation from the CEO that this contract be awarded to this panel as listed. The expenditure is provided for within the existing capital works and city services budget and doesn't represent an increase in expenditure. Six packages have been established under the contract to enable the efficient delivery of the capital works and city services program. So we went to open tender to establish a panel of contractors to provide materials for open space works and do a range of commonly used services. This establishes a panel that pre-qualifies them for those works within Hobson's Bay, which means we avoid the need to generate unnecessary paperwork and to formally quote jobs each time, and gives us a go-to panel that's been pre-cleared with all of the relevant tender rigour so that the community and my colleagues can be confident that the people providing horticultural and agricultural material supply, furniture, fencing, signage, irrigation design, supply installation, conservation management, ecological burns and agricultural services, earthworks, excavations and landscape services are qualified to do so and represent good value for money. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. And I think you might have inadvertently said it was the 3 1-year extensions, but I just want to make clear that it's two.
So. Correct. Yes, I withdraw that and re-emphasise what's printed in the recommendations. And thank you for the correction.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, this is the second, I think.
I'm happy to support the recommendation and go to the vote.
Thank you. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Marsden, then I'll put that to the vote.
Certainly.
All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. So we now move on to item 9.3.4, contract 2021.16, Pier Street Stage 4 construction. Are there any questions in relation to this? There being none, I seek a mover. Councillor Briffa is moving it. A seconder. Councillor Callender. Councillor Briffa.
Thank you. I'm very happy to move this motion and to see the works get done. We started on stage one. Wow, it must have been, Mr. Madvaskasavam is probably going to correct me, but must have been around the 2009, 2010, something like that. So it's good to see that we're finally up to the last bit. And the most challenging, the most, you know, difficult to consult about and all that sort of stuff. But I'm looking forward to this, to that whole project finally being finished and to see what the design solution is. So thank you. Very happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Callender.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is just basically an endorsement to award the contract for the Pier Street Stage 4 capital works as per the public tender process. And the work will include, I've got this listed down, reconfiguring car parking spaces to increase pedestrian movements and outdoor trading along Pier Street, widened and upgraded footpath paving, landscaping and new street furniture, including street lines, feature seating and other amenities. And additionally, works will be carried out at the Weaver Reserve, including landscaping, electrical upgrades and installation of street furniture. And the one thing that I'm glad to announce is that the works will begin in March 2022. So that'll happen after the peak summer period. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Briffa, do you wish to close debate?
I'm just looking forward to this work being done, and I just hope it goes well with no issues with traders. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I know in other stages we have had issues with impact to traders. It's important that we're doing this outside of that peak period, but we do want to try and minimise the impact to the community and traders as much as possible. So I'm very confident that the council administration will liaise with traders and other groups during this period to try and minimise impact, including doing as much work, you know, for example, after hours and all that sort of stuff. So thank you very much. Prepare to go to the vote.
Thank you. I'll now put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9.3.5. This is the regular Westgate Tunnel project update. Are there any questions, councillors? Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question without notice, and it's really concerned with the separate study, which is now known as the Hobsons Bay Transport Planning Study, recommended by the EES, and to seek an update on where we're at with that, given that it was to be led by DOT and ourselves, to consider the full impacts of the Westgate Tunnel project and liver crossing removal projects on the residents of Hobsons Bay. I'm sorry for the question without notice, but it occurred to me that we haven't heard much back from that particular item, and I'd like to know where we're at.
So, Mr. Manavasi-Gosalan, that's up to you.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, Councillor Marsden. We recently advised by the DOT that they are planning to release that as soon as possible. They have released that document to their working group recently, and also it will be publicly released maybe within the next 1 or 2 weeks. We don't have the exact dates, but our understanding is it will be released pretty soon. Soon as we receive that one, we're happy to provide any further updates on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other questions? I seek a mover for the motion that's before us. Councillor Marsden is the mover and a seconder.
I'll second it.
Councillor Greemer is the seconder. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, ma'am. So this motion is in two parts and starts with the accustomed and standing requirement that council receive and note the update report, but also that we note the recommendation of the Department of Transport's Millers Road and Williamstown Road Corridor Study, which is a disappointing report. I think it was met with widespread disappointment, given that the effect of the Westgate Tunnel and the attendant truck bans on Somerville and Francis Street really forced trucks onto Millers Road and Williamstown Road and some of the east-west connections as well, including Hudson's Road. And the corridor study was really intended to be a balm or a salve to those foreseeable problems. But unfortunately, not only was it difficult to extract, but it was also completely toothless in its recommendations. So whatever recommendations been made, we'll obviously be keen to see implemented. But nevertheless, there was a lot that was left out. And I am glad to move to note the recommendations, but I just wanted to place on the record my extreme disappointment and that of the communities in the paucity of rigour and sufficiency of recommendations that are contained within the study. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Greemer?
I second this. You know, we've got to accept this. I think I'd like to look at the report. This issue has, from the beginning, you know, they've had environmental concerns, traffic concerns, amongst other concerns and community, different subjects to, you know, how's it going to support our community? How are we going to get support? So I guess I'm urging everyone who still, I know it's a long road ahead, but is still wanting to have an update or ask a question, please do so, because it's going to benefit you to do so. And I'm happy that we are going to be receiving reports on this, because I completely endorse that. We've received endorsement that we received this for our community. So thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Councillor Greemer. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Callender?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to say well said to Councillor Marsden. Wholeheartedly agree with everything that you've noted out in your comments, and I want to point out one thing that really disappoints me as well, and this is on page 47. It basically highlights that an item marked with a star unlikely to be delivered in the near future, and it says signalised access for Brooklyn residents from Millers Road, and I find that really disappointing. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here, but, you know, this is something that this council has been advocating for a long time, and I think we'll continue to advocate for. But I'm really disappointed to see that something so simple is being called out as being unlikely to be delivered in the near future. I'll leave it at that for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Councillor Griffer?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. What can I say? I've been disappointed with this project from the outset, particularly because of its impact, negative, adverse, horrible profound impacts on residents of Brooklyn and Altona North in particular, but also other areas as well. I appreciate getting these updates, but and I know that we've been advocating for other changes to make this more palatable, but we actually need to be doing more. And I'd like to see some action as a result of this report and those things that they've said that they're not going to do that we say that they should be doing. So let's not just note this report and accept it, but let's have some actions around it about what we're going to do. You know, are we going to, there's a state election next year. Are we going to actually, you know, send out cards and do all that sort of stuff? I mean, I know that we've got an advocacy strategy, but let's put this front and center and actually see some actions. We put out those cards, for example, for the issue on the bridge here in Altona Meadows. Let's do something around the Altona North Brooklyn issue, South Kingsville, Spotswood, about this impacts as well. Let's speak to, well, and put pressure on the state government to come up with the money and the support to actually meet these issues. So I'll just leave it at there. I'm happy to support this motion because it only, you know, receives and notes this update, but I'm strongly of the opinion that apart from just receiving and noting this update, we need actions, and we need the actions to be quite firm, resolute, and we need to put some money behind it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Marsden, do you wish to close debate?
Thank you. And I'd like to thank colleagues for their heartfelt words, their evident frustration with the lack of action that's communicated by this report. This is a very weak source. And as my colleagues point out, needs to be paired with action to tackle those outstanding questions of air quality, of dirty vehicles and fleet upgrades, of making sure that truck bans in fact work and are applied, of ensuring that there is a proper holistic planning study to consider the full impacts of the project as planned and as mismanaged, in that the project is now behind by 2 years, if not longer. We have no certainty, really. It's disappointing, to say the least. It's incredibly frustrating, and we really should be asking for more, for pressing for more, and fulfilling the promise of the EES. I mean, there's a reason there's a process like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a smokescreen, if you'll pardon the diesel pun, for the delivery of the project. It's a necessary step to guarantee good amenity and healthy air. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. I'll now put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 10, delegates' reports. And I won't seek, if anyone has any questions, I will ask for a mover. Councillor Sutton, go. Seconded, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Sutton, go. Do you wish to speak? I believe you've got one of the items, one of the three committees there.
Yes, the Truganina Explosive Reserve, and I'm happy for my colleagues who are represented on the other committees to talk to their reports. I was actually at the Truganina Explosive Reserve today, and it was very nice to meet carefully in person. The underkeeper's quarters are just looking fantastic. There's so much work going on there, and I can only commend all of the volunteers who just so wholeheartedly commit themselves to this project. The restoration of the metal windmill is under completion, and there is the talk of the next master plan and what else can be done with that site. I believe the next open day will be in the new year. And I just encourage people to go down there and see just how fantastic it is. and get on the tour and see everything that's happening. The Wetland Centre, that's a you know, public advocacy project for all of us. And it'll, again, you know, if we can find the funding for that from state, federal government, if you're listening, then that will be a wonderful project for not just Hobsons Bay, but for the whole of the West and probably the whole of Melbourne, because it's really will be a wonderful project. So there's great work going on. As always, our volunteers work very hard with very little fanfare. So I acknowledge all the work they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton. Go. Councillor Briffa, is this seconded? Do you wish to speak?
No, that's fine.
Thank you. I note that Councillor Marsden and Councillor Greemer were other carriers of these particular motions, committees. Councillor Marsden, you wish to speak to your report?
I do. Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly. The last meeting, or the meeting indicated here, the 3rd of November, we had Dwayne Burt, who's the principal policy advisor from Victoria Walks, was presenting on road crashes, and it was a very data-heavy presentation. But there was a few clear messages, and that is that, you know, the bulk of the injuries happen in 60 and 50 zones, and where we can and we should. Reduce speeds to improve the survivability of these accidents. I mean, that sounds like a very brutal equation, but nevertheless, there's very strong evidence to show that going from 60 to 50, and then in those places that are currently 50 to 40, and those places that are currently 40 to 30, to step down, to slow down, to prevent injury and death, particularly among vulnerable populations such as very old people and very young people who really struggle to cross our major thoroughfares. There's a really good chart included in the report, and that's on page 51 of the agenda, and just showing where these pedestrian crashes occur. But there's a lot of evidence to suggest that, you know, a 10 kilometre an hour speed reduction, getting down towards the ideal, I guess, of 40 and then 30 kilometres an hour as a neighbourhood speed is not only good for survivability, but it's also good for amenity. It reduces the noise, it reduces the sense of fear that young children and old people have, or anyone in general, when walking in their neighbourhood. It also means that people are much more confident to get on their bicycles. There's a huge number of people, like something like 0.8 of the population who would ride but are scared to. And if we can just slow down the speeds and the likelihood of death and injury, then people will happily jump on their bikes and do those things which are best done on a bike, you know, very short distances to school, work, and shopping. So, yeah, it was a worthwhile report, and I look forward to working further with Victoria Walks, who's now become a very strong partner of the MTF in encouraging speed reductions in residential areas, such as has been successfully done in Maribyrnong in particular, and which is being done as part of the Better Places Guide for South Kings or Spotswood. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Greemer, do you wish to speak to your report?
I'll be very brief, I echo, and I won't mention some of the highlights that were already mentioned. Just be very quick to acknowledge Road Safe Westgate Community. You know, projects and programs were in place, but they've been postponed due to COVID. So I'm hoping that 2022 will be valuable and programs and initiatives will get underway. And I'm looking forward to that. And thank you to my council colleagues for highlighting a few issues that I had written down, but I don't need to address them. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Councillor Greemer. Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, should I put that to the vote now?
Yes, please.
I'll do that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. So we now move on to item 11, notice of motion, and there are none that were being received. Item 12 is urgent business. Do we have any urgent business?
Excuse me, Mayor Hempel.
Yes.
I don't know if this is going to be considered urgent, but I'll quickly address it. Previously, we've spoken about Australia Day, how we're going to address it in our community. And I know there's a lot going on with COVID and capital work projects and the budget. I don't know if it's appropriate to say urgent, but is there any open forum for the near future? You can take it on notice. Don't need an answer if we're going to be discussing that.
I think that will be discussed at another in another forum, I would think.
Okay, yep, I thought so. I just wanted to address the show though coming up. All right, no worries. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, if there are no other business, I note that we're going to go in camera and I just want to point out to people who may be listening in that once we move in camera to address some confidential items, the meeting, the live stream will end and the meeting will be closed to the public and it will not be formally resumed. At the conclusion of the in-camera section of the meeting, I will then close the meeting. But before I do so, I want to note that this is the last formal meeting of the year. I know it's been a very busy year for most people and a tough year for most people. People are now looking for a bit of relief after a good part of the year has been in lockdowns. I just want to, on behalf of the council, wish everyone a Merry Christmas to our community. And I hope that if they're having a holiday, that is a safe one and that the new year is a good one for each and every one of our community. I'd also like to acknowledge the work, particularly our former Mayor, Councillor Marsden, leading us in this past year, and Councillor Callender as the Deputy Mayor. So for all the work done by yourselves, plus my council colleagues, but more particularly to the officers, they've put in an enormous amount of work during the year. And we're seeing some of the benefits of that work right as we address the meeting tonight. So I wish all them as well a safe and happy Christmas and have a good holiday. Thank you. Now I wish to address the next section, which is the in-camera business.
And I think Marsden had his hand up. Councillor Marsden had his hand up. Mayor Marsden.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Mayor.
I didn't want to preempt, but I just wanted to move that the council considers that confidential reports listed by closing the meeting in accordance with section 662 and as otherwise printed in the recommendation and move that be the case.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. And a seconder? Yeah. Councillor Sutton-Legault. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Against? Councillor prefers against. Most move voted against that.
No, I didn't.
We now move.
Hempel, Councillor Briffa saying he didn't.
Sorry?
She didn't. Someone,
I voted in favour.
Okay, I'll put the motion again so it's clear. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now move in camera.